Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A neat development with our website, kgov.com, and our affiliation with theologyonline.com. Beginning this week, January 2009, the new year, when you go to our website to look at a show summary, like today, I'll give you a preview. We're going to have John Haskins on and the president of American Right to Life, Brian Rohrbaugh. But when you go to a show summary, there will be a link to Theology Online where you could discuss, make comments, ask questions about each show, show by show, going forward and eventually going back through our archives. So that'll be a convenient way. If you have thoughts about a program, you might want to call in. You might not want to call in. You might want to write down your thoughts. And you could do it. Just go to kgov.com and click on comment at theologyonline.com. All right, in studio, I have the president of American Right to Life, Brian Rohrbaugh. Brian, it's great to see you. Thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
We have an article, a column out by Chuck Baldwin, which he does something that not a lot of Christian leaders, authors do. He names names, and he's a bit upset about some of the phony Christian leadership that really amounts to just partisan political politics. And he says that we have Christian leaders who are virtually becoming political hacks. And this is a real sad development. Here at Bob Inyart Live, we've been talking about this kind of thing on the air for some time. But now somebody like Chuck Baldwin, you know, he ran for president in 2008, you know that. You were on the vice presidential ticket with Alan Keyes.
Right.
You were the vice presidential running mate of Alan Keyes. Congratulations for that, Brian. And so Chuck Baldwin, he's out and he is naming names. And it's awkward, but I think it's so very important. So I'd like to ask John Haskins to join us, John of Underground Journal. John, I don't think my audience has ever heard you on this show. This is the first time. John Haskins, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thank you, Bob, and hi, Brian. I have to say I am a huge supporter of what both of you guys do, and you are such an inspiration to those who are troubled by what's happening in the country and how so many church leaders and so-called pro-life and pro-family leaders have actually been helping the enemy to rack up one victory after another. And, you know, you folks who get to hear Bob on the radio there in Colorado, I don't know if you have any idea how fortunate you are to have someone like him that you can tune into. He really has not only a balanced grip, in my opinion, on what's going on in the country and why we keep surrendering, but he has a Christ-like spirit in pointing out fearlessly, but I think very humbly and with grace, things that we need to face and naming names.
John Haskins, it's humbling to hear that from you. There are many of us who are on the air around the country, many pro-life leaders, Brian, the head of American Right to Life, who look to you for some of the fundamental principles, the documentation of what's really happening in our Christian ministries and our Christian leaders. So it is humbling, and it's been a long time coming that you're on the air with me. In fact, we have some mutual friends. Brian, have you been on the air in California with Greg Jackson on a Salem station?
I was, just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's out of Los Angeles, I believe. John, you're close. You know Greg Jackson, I believe.
Yeah, and they had a terrific interview, as you have had a terrific one with Greg and also with Steve Dace in Iowa.
Steve Dace in Iowa. Now, he's on a Clear Channel station, I believe. And in L.A., Greg Jackson, that's a Salem broadcast station, trying to get K keep these clear in my mind to get an idea who'd be listening to these people. These are significant radio stations in important markets, and here are talk show hosts who are in agreement that the Christian right has been sold out, almost like our leaders have become political hacks. And if we were 2,000 years ago, they'd be supporting Herod. They'd be Herodians, I think.
Well, Greg and Steve Dace, yes, they are two guys on the radio like yourself who have decided that come what may, they're going to tell the truth. And, of course, there are people that get angry at them, sometimes very angry, and they want the truth to go away. But these guys have been clued in, as I have and you have, and a growing number of people have, about the number of capitulations and surrenders and even outright betrayals at the highest levels of the pro-life movement, the pro-family movement. And we are finding a money trail that goes to some very well-known, so-called pro-family lawyers and pro-life leaders, with literal bribes up to as much as $1 million, which explain a lot of the propaganda that was spread about gay marriage that enabled Mitt Romney to use a powerless court decision here to impose something that law professors understand will bring the end of religious freedom if it's not somehow rolled back.
Well, Brian Rohrbaugh is in studio, president of American Right to Life. Brian, John Haskins just mentioned the money that's involved that perhaps is part of what has seduced so many Christian leaders. American Right to Life commissioned a CPA to do research on the partial birth abortion ban. That brought in a lot of money, didn't it?
Yeah, about $250 million. And I think you're exactly right, John, that a lot of this has to do with money, and a lot of it has to do with power and wanting a seat at the table, to be a power broker, to be a kingmaker. And then I think some of it is now a lot of these people got into something and they're embarrassed. They are not humble enough to say what we've done is wrong and we're going to change it. We're not going to continue down this road. So they're digging in and they're banding together to form a little army to try to stop people who are actually exposing them. And I don't think they ever considered the power of the internet, because that opened up the door for us to research what's really going on, so we don't have to listen to National Right to Life and the lies that they continuously say.
Oh, yeah. John Haskins, National Right to Life released a report about John McCain just a few years back, before he was the Republican presidential candidate. And they concluded, in fact, it was the headline of the report, John McCain is a threat to the pro-life movement. That was the headline. That was the conclusion. And in the few years since that report, he's become more pro-choice. He's even more pro-choice now than he was then. Back then, he thought much of abortion activity should be banned. Today, he's increased what he thinks should be permitted, and he thinks states should decide. If they want abortion on demand, if they want to pay tax-funded abortion on demand, so be it. Let the states decide. So he's even worse, but now, because he's the Republican candidate, they give him 100% pro-life rating.
Well, this is the pattern of how men like John McCain and others like Mitt Romney have been legitimized as social conservatives at election time. Very much the same thing happened with Romney. Family Research Council, headed by Tony Perkins, I think November 12th of 06 in the Boston Globe, Tom McCluskey, an associate assistant of Tony Perkins, who a lot of people know, was quoted in the Globe saying that Mitt Romney's record on life and gay rights and all these things was such that they would fight tooth and nail to get his record out and make sure he did not win the Republican nomination, because if he did, he said, it would tear up the grassroots and destroy the conservative movement. Within a relatively short amount of time, a large amount of money was given to Family Research Council by a major business associate of Mitt Romney's, who has passed money to Focus on the Family, to the American Family Association, and to many other groups. And from that point on, Tony Perkins and the Family Research Council effectively became an extension of the Romney campaign.
Yeah, Mitt Romney is a hardcore Michigan, Massachusetts liberal. He ran as a liberal. He flirted with the idea of maybe being pro-life if he was going to run for governor of Utah. But after that, he ran for governor of Massachusetts. Hardcore pro-abortion politician. He even funded, he used tax dollars to fund surgical abortions that are simply abortion on demand, elective abortions. You know, the most egregious example of being pro-abortion, not just pro-choice with your arm twisted behind your back, but aggressively pro-abortion. I mean, to pay for abortions with tax dollars, surgical elective abortions for any reason, he's a hardcore pro-abort. And we have, with Sean Hannity, you know, Chuck Baldwin today mentioned Sean Hannity in a list of conservatives that you can't trust because they're effectively on the other side. And they want Christians to think Mitt Romney is a godly Christian, pro-life, anti-homosexual leader. The opposite is the truth.
Well, Mitt Romney told, I mean, that what if you go to my website, theundergroundjournal.net,
all right,
you will find the proof of what was done to enable these $50 abortions, taxpayer-funded. Mitt Romney signed in one of the most draconian pro-abortion laws that I know of in the world.
Right.
And the way that he carried this out was he met with the Planned Parenthood-type liberal Republicans. He met with the high-ranking homosexual Republicans. He promised them that he would carry out their plan, and he told them, he said, because I am a Mormon, I will be able to do more than Ted Kennedy could, because people will see me as a social conservative.
Right.
And then he carried that plan out, just like a business plan.
And that is the scam. He started giving, you mentioned, some donations, as much as $1 million. He started 2 years before the primary, a year before the primary was in full swing. He started giving donations to Christian pro-life groups, especially in the early primary states like Iowa and South Carolina, New Hampshire, Florida. He was buying the Christian leadership to lie to believers to say Mitt Romney is a godly Christian man. He's against abortion. He's against homosexuality. It's all a lie, and it's blatantly obvious. Brian, what did American Right to Life do regarding Mitt Romney? Because there was a fear. I mean, he spent more in Iowa than any other candidate. He had the biggest organization on the ground. He worked the state for a year, but he got trounced.
Well, he did, and he should have. And we'd like to at least have been a part of that, and I think we were. We produced a low-budget television commercial that was actually quite a high-quality production, and it was very, very effective. It really exposed his pro-abortion flip-flop, where one day he claims to be pro-abortion, the next day he claims to be pro-life, but he always ends up on the pro-abortion side.
Right, pro-abortion. And that ad ran, I think, 150 times all over the state of Iowa. And in fact, it was picked up. John Haskins, you and I and Brian Rohrbaugh, we didn't talk to you back then in the early primary days, but that ad was picked up by ABC World News Tonight. It ran on Fox News. It ran on Hannity and Combs. It was voted the number one low-budget political ad of the season, and it was reported on by major news outlets. Our logo, American Right to Life, was in the New York Times the week before Romney bailed out of the primary. They had pro-lifers protesting against Mitt Romney. And it's like, what's going on here? The media couldn't quite figure it out, John. But we hit Romney as hard as we could hit him in Iowa, South Carolina, and Florida, and he got trounced in those three states.
There's no question you guys had a huge impact there, and it is very likely that if Romney had won the Iowa caucus that he would have won the Republican nomination. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand the amazing work that American Right to Life is doing on a very limited budget, and they need to commit to supporting you guys. And they also need to commit to taking steps like phone calls and letters and emails to hold people accountable that have been misleading the pro-life grassroots. I mean, people have to get active and understand that what you're hearing now is not pleasant. It's not, you know, the delightful flattery that so often passes for Christian communication on serious matters. But people need to get behind American Right to Life actively and with their time and with their money.
Well, that's very kind of you, John Haskins. And by the way, none of the officers of American Right to Life take a salary. The spokespeople do not get paid. There is no financial benefit whatsoever to working for American Right to Life. Brian Werbaugh, the money goes into the battle.
Well, it does. All of us have full-time jobs, and we earn our income in that way. We take nothing from American Right to Life, and we struggle at times to find someone who has the time to do an interview or to do the things that need to be done. The problem is, if we were to take a salary, all of our time would be spent fundraising, and we'd probably be trapped, like so many of these groups are, where they start out wanting to do the right thing, then it becomes all about money.
You got to meet
about
your budget.
Power. You have to meet the budget.
You got to meet your budget. And the partial birth abortion ban, hey, that brings in money by the millions of dollars because it's so graphic, and it plays into the political desire to say, hey, let's make the Democrats look bad. But when the reality is that the PBA ban could not save a single human life, not one. It had no authority to save one life.
Yeah, it didn't have any authority. And even the so-called justices admitted that it probably meant more suffering for the innocent children.
The child killed by the abortionist after the PBA ban. John, do you remember reading this in the ruling? The justices wrote, and Anthony Kennedy, all the justices who passed this Gonzales v. Carhart ruling, they said, you know, if you look at the suffering of the fetus, it could very well be that partial birth abortion imposes way less pain and violence on the baby, the fetus, who will now be ripped apart limb from limb. So they said the baby might suffer more now, but this is not about the fetus. They said, we don't like calling it a baby. This is not about the fetus. This is about the PR, the public relations of the abortion industry. And the PBA ban makes abortionists look bad. So we're going to uphold this regulation.
Well, you guys have made a tremendously powerful case at your website. It was AmericanRightToLife.org. Which has informed me on this issue and many other people. And it fits into the larger picture of what I've seen here with gay marriage, and then it was sort of repeated in California. And the larger picture is that these large groups, pro-family, pro-life groups, and the lawyers, the high-profile celebrity conservative lawyers, are doing more harm on these things than if they simply didn't exist. And people find it impossible to understand that. There's a powerful psychological need to rationalize it and say, well, okay, they're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. They're doing the best they can. And what I must testify to people, as you guys are testifying on this issue with the partial birth abortion scam and other things in the pro-life battle, what I saw in the gay marriage battle was that gay marriage in Massachusetts was created by Republicans, by conservatives, by pro-family people, because the gay activists who went to court didn't even ask the court to legalize it because they knew and the judges knew they didn't have the power to do that. It's plain in the Massachusetts Constitution. You'll find this proven again at undergroundjournal.net. They weren't even asking for it. They were asking the court to urge the state legislators to legalize gay marriage. That never happened. But Mitt Romney made a private arrangement with powerful Republican homosexuals. He basically said, don't worry about the religious right. I can buy them. And he went and bought Jay Sekulow and James Bopp of the National Right to Life. And many of these people bought them in various ways, not always with cash.
Yeah, James Bopp is National Right to Life's political architect. He's their general counsel. He's been in that role for 30 years. And he, I mean, Mitt Romney is a hardcore pro-abort, And James Bopp for National Right to Life joined Mitt Romney's campaign. He was on his campaign committee.
Well, not to mention that James Bopp also asked the Republican Party to embrace embryonic stem cell research.
Yeah, as long, right.
This guy is as wicked as they come, and his name surfaces everywhere. And here in Colorado, we had James Dobson in the Amendment 2 battle here in Colorado advocating for equal rights for homosexuals. So we talk on, back on that subject, we've had this same kind of disgraceful behavior where the idea that you can say equal rights, not special rights, and undermine 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian values is just absurd, trying to get a political victory.
Yeah, John Haskins, now you just explained that Mitt Romney was key in legalizing homosexual marriage.
It's not even legal. Roe v. Wade is not the law. It has not legalized anything because in the American form of government, judges have no power to make law or strike law down. And the Massachusetts Constitution says that more explicitly than any other place in American law. So gay marriage is not legal in Massachusetts.
All right. Well, so thanks for correcting me. So Mitt Romney sold gay marriage, homosexual marriage, to the public. He foisted it on the public when supposedly he's a protector of Christian values. He did the exact opposite thing there. Well, I don't know if you're aware, John, what happened in Colorado back in the early 90s. We had an Amendment 2 effort, which if you analyze Amendment 2, I believe it was valid. It was an attempt to oppose the homosexual agenda and to make sure that people knew that you had the right as a businessman. You didn't have to hire a homosexual as a landlord. You didn't have to rent an apartment or your home to a homosexual couple. Well, in order to try to get that to pass, and it did pass, James Dobson came on the air and he used a slogan that went all over the country, and the entire body of Christ bought this at that time. It was equal rights for homosexuals. And that was tragic, and it was actually hateful. I don't think he was consciously hateful, but it was hateful toward homosexuals because homosexuality is cruel and destructive. And for 3,500 years, it was against the law in Judeo-Christian legal principle. So now we have Christians taking the place of the homosexual leaders saying, we want homosexuality to be legal. We want equal rights for homosexuals. We just don't want special rights. And that utterly confused the entire body of Christ. To this day, Christians don't know what to think about homosexuality.
Well, this is a symptom of the effeminization of the Christian church. When we cannot stand on principle because we're afraid of being left behind by the world, and we can't stand on principle out of love, even when it's unpopular. Yes, I'm aware of what you're talking about in that instance, and it is something that has to be addressed at a spiritual level, because when we capitulate and surrender and even betray the principles that this country was built on, and the religious freedom, the root causes are spiritual. And I have to say, people, very, very few Christians in this country understand what the gay rights movement is really about and what gay marriage is all about. Very few homosexuals actually want to get married. This is a comprehensive plan to cause the myth of gay rights and gay equality, in other words, equality not of people but of behaviors, equality of homosexual behaviors with what God designed. This false equality is designed to take away religious freedom and parents' rights to protect their children from indoctrination in the schools. It's designed to take away freedom of speech and, as you mentioned, freedom of employers.
Yeah.
Landlords, it is understood by law professors on both sides that gay marriage and gay rights are going to eat away at religious freedom and every
Absolutely.
Other constitutional
yeah.
right we have.
The two are mutually exclusive, Christianity and homosexuality. You can't have both out of the closet. One or the other is going to be shoved in the closet, and we see it. Here in Colorado, we only have two more minutes, John, by the way, but here in Colorado, one of our state Supreme Court justices has talked about, it's well documented, that the one attorney in Washington, D.C., who helped the homosexuals to overturn our statewide law was John Roberts.
Yeah.
John Roberts is radically pro-homosexual. Well, a few years later, so he helps the homosexuals win their most significant victory to date at the U.S. Supreme Court. Then George W. Bush nominates him for Chief Justice. And the Christian leadership should have stood up and screamed and said he's radically pro-homosexual, anti-Christian. And you know what Dr. Dobson said on Focus on the Family Radio? Brian Werbaugh, I don't know if you remember what he said.
Oh, I remember.
About John Roberts working at a law firm and having no choice?
Right.
It's
It was a lie.
It was startling, John Haskins. He said that because groups like ours complain that this John Roberts is bad, he's pro-homosexual, and Dr. Dobson said this on his radio show. He said he had no choice. He was like a secretary processing papers. He did it pro bono. He had to help them.
That's nonsense, and it's exactly what they said to defend Fred Thompson's work for, I believe it was Planned Parenthood. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, Fred Thompson was a lobbyist for NARAL, and
right.
National Right to Life endorses Fred Thompson and Mitt Romney, two pro-aborts.
Again, this is the effeminization of Christian men and Christian leaders. And before we run out of time, I just want to say, people, if you do go to theundergroundjournal.net and you read some of the documentation on this, understand there's a reason that I've written this stuff and that Bob and Brian are doing this. It's not to attack people. It's to enlighten you. And I urge people, when you take this all and process it in your minds and you do it prayerfully, please support American Right to Life. Go to their website. Learn this information. Have the courage to face it and take your responsibility as citizens and as Christians to become
John,
a part of the battle.
Thank you, John. You might know that we have our video up there now. Focus on the Strategy 2 is right on the homepage at American Right to Life.
And it's terrific. I've seen it.
Thank you very much. John
Get involved,
Haskins.
Everyone. Help this battle go forward.
All right. May God bless you. Undergroundjournal.net. That was John Haskins. Brian, it was so nice that you could drop by today.
Well, thanks for having me.
It's really great. You're going to be in Washington, D.C. this weekend.
On Friday, I'm speaking at the Institute on the Constitution on their Monday lecture series,
and
or Friday lecture series.
Do you know what time? Because I believe we'll be able to get that live streaming over the Internet.
It'll start 7 o'clock local time.
7 a.m.?
P.m.
7 p.m. on Friday, this Friday evening, Institute on the Constitution. Brian Werbaugh, president of American Right to Life, will be in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Brian, for being here.
Thanks.
Okay, and so John Haskins, hopefully that'll be the first of many interviews with John. He is truly brilliant, and I think you'll enjoy hearing the research and principles that he brings to the battle for the Lord and for truth. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, Colorado, what a great school. This is Bob Inyard.